Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is DeJuan Boyd, a.k.a. DJ Rabbit, representing Rabbit Productions, hanging out chilling with my girl, Cy Boogie. That's right, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. Say word.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cy Brown. I am so happy to be back on the air. I have missed everybody these past few days. I got a tweet from High Road that said, Cy, if we didn't hear you on the air, we were going to come, you know, I was going to send somebody to look for you. And I got another message on Twitter just saying, I was missing you at 12 o'clock, so I am here. I'm here. I just want to share. Today's going to be not a deep show. I don't even want to go into that. But today is just going to be a show to talk about some real serious issues about mental health and mental illness. I never knew that I suffered from any kind of mental illness. Maybe I did. You know, people call you crazy all the time. But I never really thought to a certain degree I struggled or suffered in any capacity from any type of illness. And I guess I do, I'm hoping to say mental health and mental illness interchangeably, because I believe, and I'm learning about this, that it is a combination of some type of illness where your brain or maybe some type of chemical imbalance. I don't know enough about it. So today I'm really just going to speak from my perspective and my experience, as opposed to from the position of some type of a clinician or somebody who has done extensive study and research on the topic, because I really can't. But I'll tell you what happened, just because I feel that I owe you, my listeners and my followers, to a certain degree, some type of an explanation. You know, when you just tune in and there's no show, typically, if there's no show, it's because something has happened or, you know, and then I'll blog about it. So you're never kind of out in the lurch. I never want anybody to just tune into my show and then all of a sudden there's no show. So I'll always blog. I know like a couple of weeks ago, I think it was like 2 days last month, I was doing some stuff with my son for school and I wasn't able to, you know, make it on the air by 12. And since I am a solopreneur, you know, I have a lot of support help and a lot of support staff. I don't have anybody that can really replace the show for me or host the show for me. So, you know, I'll let you know if I can't do it or if, you know, something is happening where I can't be on the air. But you know what? I am. But let me rewind the tape and tell you how the whole thing kind of started, just so you can take a little peek into my mind and see what's going on. The first thing... The first thing is that, you know, I did my little do-it-yourself project, you know, my painting project in my house, and I moved, so that was fun and that was good. But unfortunately, we ran out of paint. So when we got to the very edges of it, so going back and forth to Walmart, just trying to make sure that we had the right paint, that was stressful enough. You know, in addition to, don't forget, I run a media company. So not only is the show one of my media properties, but I run several blogs. So just between blogging and running the show and producing it and trying to find paint, you know, for Walmart to make my living room look decent, that was in of itself. And Monday, my husband made one little comment about the paint. We ended up getting the paint. And this speaks to really just the customer service at Walmart, too, if there's anybody from Walmart listening. We went there to get the paint, and they did not have a gallon. And when I finally got all the way home, I was like, you know what, maybe we should have asked them if they had a smaller, you know, like a smaller can of paint. So we called them, do you have the smaller size? He said, yeah. And I'm like, you know what, if he had just recommended that while we were there, we would have been able to, you know, get the paint and finish this project. But anyway, we got the paint. And so my husband started painting Monday, you know, right before I was going to go on the air. And I don't know what the trigger was. Maybe it wasn't just right. All of a sudden, I started screaming and I started throwing plates. And yes, I have broken almost every plate I have in my house. Plates were smashed. Salad plates were smashed. Thank God there has been no, like, real damage to my house except for the fact that I'm operating right now with two dishes. You know, now that all the dust has settled, I realize I've got, like, two dinner plates and two salad plates. But plates were smashed, you know, started yelling. It's not that cold here, so my windows were open. Probably my neighbors heard me, and I just started screaming and screaming and screaming. And not even sure what the trigger was. And it's so funny because I'm getting my office at home remodeled as well. Like, I'm getting new furniture. You know, I got a much bigger television because I, you know, this is where you spend a lot of your time. Curvy Queen says, is this the beginning of menopause? Well, actually, you know what is so funny about that? I'm 37 years old, and I am perimenopausal already. I started menopause at 35 years old. So I guess I hope that's not like TMI, but I was diagnosed 2 years ago as perimenopausal. So to swing up your joke, that could be it too. So I don't know. But, you know, I could laugh about it. I can laugh about it now. But anyway, let me get back to what happened on Monday. So my dishes are now all over the floor and this and that. And what happens is at that point, I got into like an uncontrollable sob. Fast forward, I ended up taking myself to the hospital, and they gave me a psychiatric evaluation. They ask you a series of questions. They ask you if you want to go to, like, a padded room. I mean, really, it was pretty bad. But based on my responses, and I was coherent, you know, I thought I was going to drive myself into the Hudson River because, you know, I live in North Jersey, everybody. So, you know, I went to the water. I took a break after our argument and drove to the water, the harbor, in Jersey City, just to kind of look at the water, look at the New York City skyline, relax myself, and I wanted to drive my car into the water. And now, obviously, you all know I talk about God every single day, but I didn't want to die. Like, I didn't want to just drive my car into the water, so I drove myself to a hospital. True, what are you apologizing for? I don't know what is going on in the chat room. But I see you apologizing, so I don't know what that means. But anyway, don't apologize. I don't know what's going on, but I see you apologizing. But anyway, I drove myself to the hospital, and they checked me in immediately because I was crying. I was really hysterical. And then, of course, I'm hoping that nobody recognizes me because my face is all over. I'm all over, you know, this area, and I'm like, oh, my God, the last thing I need is somebody to see me, like, sobbing uncontrollably going into the hospital. I parked my car. They asked me, did I drive myself to the hospital? And I told them, yeah. I gave them very, very honest answers. And after going into the waiting, like into the emergency room, now, of course, I'm here with all of these people. One 17-year-old lady aborted a baby right there on the emergency room floor. Thank God I didn't see that. And that's enough to sober up anybody and make you appreciate life. Because I was just like, I didn't even need to hear it. But like I said, that was sobering enough. But anyway, I had to stay on a gurney. They wheeled me into like the hallway because there were no more rooms left. And I guess I wasn't like a real serious case. Finally, the psychiatric department came and picked me up. And that's when the questions started. Where did I go to college? How old are my children? I mean, it was crazy, all these questions. So finally, after them asking me a series of, like, I guess, psychiatric questions, the doctor told me I'm a genius. And I laughed because I said, if I'm a genius, Kirby said, did she miscarry or abort? Well, the doctor, thank God I didn't hear any of that, but I heard the doctor because they put me right by the nurse's station. And here's the funny thing, that the stuff that I had with me in the hospital was my laptop, my printer, because I didn't know where I was going when I left my house. I had my laptop, I had my printer, like some underclothes, a couple outfits, and that's it. So when I got there, they want to take your stuff. And then they were going to, like, take my shoelaces because they thought I was going to hurt myself. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to hurt myself. I just am not in the right frame of mind right now. And so they put me by the nurse's station because when they valued up my wedding ring, my BlackBerry, my laptop, and my printer, nobody wanted to be responsible for it because I was like, you know, if anything happens to my laptop, my printer, you know, this is my livelihood. So I think that's why they wheeled me by the nurse's station. But when I was there, I heard them say she just aborted, I think it was a 12 or 15-week-old fetus. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about that because that's going to make me woozy because I heard it and it freaked me out. I want to get back to mental illness and entrepreneurs and solopreneurs and all that stuff. I see I have someone who's calling in to listen. I don't know if that's someone calling in to listen or they have a question or a comment. Hi, you're on the air with Cy Brown on Life Remix Radio. Are you just calling in to listen or do you have a question?
Miss Cy Brown, what's good?
Oh, hi.
See, I couldn't hear, so I had to call in, and I didn't expect you to pick up so quickly.
Yeah, because I'm never looking at the screen, that's why. I'm going to just put you on hold, and I'll pick you back up later if you have questions.
No, go ahead, do your thing.
Okay, that was true, everybody. He's such a dear. But anyway, one of the questions they asked me was if I was in a desert with just a child, and there was no food, no water, and we came across a piece of bread, would I take the bread or would I give it to the child? And so I gave the answer right away, like with almost no thought, like almost instinctively, I would eat it. And that actually was the right answer. And he said, most people say give it to the child because that's a selfless thing to do. But it's in the way my mind works, I was like, well, if I eat it, or maybe, you know, I can help us get out of the desert and help us be stronger, whereas if the kid eats it, the kid's now wandering and has no hope. So based on my logic and all this other stuff, he diagnosed me as a genius. And I say this not, you all know who listen to me every day, not to say that I'm an absolute genius, but it speaks to the mind or the power of our mind and the power of our thought, the power of our intention, the power of what we're able to accomplish. And just as we got a little bit more into this dialogue and into this conversation, he started asking me about my businesses and what do I do. And I see we have tons of guests in the chat room. And then for some of you that I don't have quite a personal conversation with, I'll share with you a little bit about what I do. First of all, I write books. And when I'm talking with the psychiatrist, now I'm still at the hospital. I haven't even gotten to the part where I've discharged and the books that he told me to read. But he asked me about my books, and I said, well, I just started writing books because I just like writing. And honestly, and I'll tell everybody here, I never really wrote my books to sell. I wrote my books to kind of help me with my lecture career because what I really enjoy doing is lecturing. I like getting on an airplane, flying to a new location, getting on a stage, lecturing about all this information in my head, getting treated really, really nicely, and going back home. I like that. So, but in order to do that and make a lot of money doing that, you need to have books. So I'm explaining to him all of my logic about why I write books and all of this, and he says, are you serious? He said, you know how many people try to write a book their entire life? I wrote and released a book in 2004 and 2005. I didn't release one in 2006, but in 2007 I released two, one in January, one in December. So that's 2004, 2005, two books in 2007, and I just released a book 2008, and I have another one coming out in 2009. So I kind of, it looks like the trend, and I never planned it. But it looks as though I kind of write a book a year. And he was saying, do you know what kind of mind it takes to be able to write a book a year? And I said, well, anybody that's ever been to college or school or can write a paper can write a book. And so he finally started to explain to me how my mind works. And this is why I'm sharing this with you. This is, I'm reading some stuff in the chat room. You guys are too funny. I'm not even going to read that stuff on the air because it's not really pertaining to this show. But anyway, when he he started explaining to me how my mind works very often, especially with entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. And that's why I put that in the subject line of today's show, because a lot of people that are in my shoes, especially in this economy, and finances have a lot to do with what I'm going through as well. I'm not making as much money as I would like to, and not making as much money as I'm used to making. So you couple that with you're working twice as hard, making less money, you have all these ideas swirling in your head, and most entrepreneurs or solopreneurs work by themselves. So that's a very, very, very dangerous that's like a very dangerous combination where you work by yourself. Your family typically doesn't understand you. Now, you know everybody here. You know, my husband is like the best. He comes on the show sometimes, and he's really helpful. But for the most part, he's not directly involved with the day-to-day operations. So if you take somebody who's pretty isolated, and if you think about being an entrepreneur or a solopreneur, it's pretty much a self-imposed isolation. Think about it. You have decided to go out on a limb, follow a dream that God gave you, a dream that God didn't give anybody else. God gave you the dream. You decided to follow through with it. You now have to kind of justify it to your family. You're now working, like, you know, all these hours of a day, and it's not providing the revenue or the income that you would like. So now you have to justify to your family why you're working all these hours, you're engaged in a self-imposed isolation, and you're not making any money. And I guess I've technically done that. I've technically done that and didn't even realize it. And then when you take being a very driven and determined person, which is all you guys who listen to me every day know, I am so driven and so focused that you lose the world around you. For the past two Saturdays, and I think this has also hurt me as well, for the past two Saturdays, my children have been away and my husband has been at work and I have had absolutely nothing to do, and I thought I was going to go stir crazy in my house. I can't decorate anymore. It's already decorated. I can't, you know, I didn't feel like cooking anything because there's nobody there to really cook for. I'm sick of watching HGTV, which I love HGTV, but I'm sick of watching all these little home and, you know, paint. I did all that. I bought this beautiful chair from IKEA, which is in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and I went and I painted it this beautiful cranberry red. Maybe I'll take a picture of it. Matter of fact, I'll probably take a picture of it and upload it to my blog this afternoon. I mean, I engaged in all these, and at the end of the day, I still wasn't happy, and it's because I kind of put myself in this self-imposed isolation, and that is really, 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 what is it, like a cocktail or something, you know, like almost like a poison. It's a very poisonous place to be. So after going through all of these conversations with the doctor, they finally said to me that they could start me on medication and send me upstairs, which meant they were admitting me to the hospital, or I could go home and seek outpatient treatment. I was like, well, I want to stay. I think I have a problem. And I said to the doctor, I said, well, I came to the hospital. I brought myself to the hospital. Can't you guys diagnose me and tell me what's wrong? And he said to me, Ms. Brown, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just stress. You're just at your breaking point. And I said, I broke all the dishes at my house. Like, I took all the dishes, slammed them on my floor, threw them. I didn't really, like, throw them at my husband, but I kind of threw them in a general direction. And something has got to be wrong with me. And he's like, no, there's nothing really wrong with you. And I never realized that stress can get you to this point. True asked me, are these recent occurrences, Sai? No, this is so out of pocket. And that's why my husband was bugging out. He was like, I haven't even seen you like this. But I'm sharing this again with everybody on the show because I really think that we have been touching on some very deep and serious issues on this show. And I'm sure you all know that. Hi, Road, I see you have to go. It's okay. Call me anytime. We can talk. But on this show, Life Remixed, we have been talking for the last couple of weeks about some very heavy spiritual topics life topics, religious topics, and I really think that had a lot to do with this whole episode that I went through on Monday and why yesterday I just could not function. I literally was walking like a baby, talking like a baby, couldn't remember anything. I asked my husband didn't go to work yesterday. He actually went to work because he thought I was okay, and he turned his car around and came right back. And I remember sitting in our dining room. He was in the kitchen making soup, and I must have asked him four times, like, why did he come home? And I saw him starting to get impatient because he told me already. He said, Saida, I came home because I just felt I needed to come home. And so, like, a couple minutes would go by, and I was like, but why did you come home? Like, aren't you going to get in trouble? And he's such a worker. He doesn't loosely take days off and stuff like that. But he said, no, I really needed to come home. And this is why. You all know, like, I'm home in the afternoon with my 14-year-old. Well, he's 15 now. And when he came home, I started yelling at him for nothing. Like, I asked him to take chicken out of the oven, and he said something. And all of a sudden, the ranting and screaming and yelling started all over again. Now, this is yesterday, a day after the hospital, the psychiatrist diagnosed me as being a genius. And I use that word very loosely. But anyway, so my son is supposed to call my husband every day when he comes home from school just so he knows that he's safe so he can hear his voice. And I guess there was something not quite right in his voice which made my husband come home. But I think it's a combination of self-imposed isolation, a combination of all of the God and religious stuff that we've been talking about on this show, and of course I'm not blaming the show, but this show is a very deep show every day. The fact that I have a gift, and I remember the doctor telling me in the hospital, I mean by this time it's like 11:30 Monday night, and I had been in the hospital since like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so at this point, but I was sedated, so I was fading in and out. But I remember him talking just about when you have all of these things going on in your head, you have to really take stock in how to digest, how to take a break, and how to be able to separate yourself. And even as an entrepreneur, I'll tell all of you, I am literally up and at my computer. If I'm not up and at my computer by 5 a.m., I start to get the shakes. Like, I start to think I'm missing something. I feel like I'm behind the gun. I feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Can you imagine being up at your computer? Literally, my coffee is made, and I'm at my computer working. And then I work all day. I do this show every day. And then I still continue to work. You know, I take a break to make dinner, have dinner with my son, and all that stuff. But then I'm still working when my husband comes home at like 11 o'clock or, you know, sometimes when he comes home late at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, that's literally almost 18 hours. True says you have several other ventures going on too. Well, yeah, and it's like one thing is compiled on something else. So what I actually did this morning, and I got up and today I sat at my computer at about 5:30, and I organized everything. Organized it in a way that I understand. And one of the problems I find with entrepreneurs is that we're always trying to adjust ourselves to what works better for someone else, and I realized that was part of my problem, and I'll give you an example. I've got this beautiful trio, it's like a PDA, a really nice PDA, and I only bought it because I thought that's what entrepreneurs are supposed to have. Now, mind you, I've had this thing a couple of years, but the point is, everybody I know is, you know, we're traveling in airports. Everybody's on their BlackBerry or their PDA, and I wanted to look savvy too. When, in fact, the best way that I work is by having a three-ring binder for my projects, and I'll explain this. For all of my projects and my websites, I have a three-ring binder, and that works great for me because if I'm sitting at my desk, I can just everything pertaining to that particular website, its statistics, its projects, everything pertaining to that, my contacts, they're in this binder. Now, because this binder is so important, I would not lose it. I would keep it at work. But here's the thing. When I was commuting, you know, back from my office in New York to home in Jersey, if I had to work on a particular project, I would just grab that binder and toss it in my briefcase. That way I could read it on the bus going home or something like that. Well, what I did about a year ago is I got rid of all of my binders because everybody's moving to paperless and you want to be green and you want to be savvy and you want to be digital. That was probably one of the worst mistakes I ever made. I have now gone back to my binders because it worked for me. And I just find sometimes I'm thinking that we can over-network ourselves, we can over-God ourselves, we can over-technology ourselves. I don't know if this is the right terminology for these words or not, but we can overdo it, overdo whatever it is. And when you do, that's when you start to lose your balance, and then you can quote-unquote lose your sanity. And it's really difficult because anybody who decides to be an entrepreneur, especially if you're a solopreneur, you have the burden, especially women. I'm speaking right now to women entrepreneurs. We have our families to maintain, our husbands to maintain, our businesses to maintain, our clients to maintain, extended I'm like, what the hell? And I have a very dear friend who helps me, and she's like, Saida, you pour so much into so many people. Just a lot of times, even after doing this show, I decided I'm taking a quote-unquote lunch break from 1 o'clock to 2 p.m. Because you all see, I'll tell you all, you know, if somebody says, Saida, I want to talk to you, I'm like, okay, hit me back after like 1:10 when I get off the air. Or, you know, and I've done it many, many times when I get ready to get off the air, I'll just say, okay, hit me back when I, you know, hit me at 1:05 or as soon as I get off the air. I'm not doing that anymore. I have to take like a lunch break or a something break, even if I get in my car and drive or take a walk or do something, because it's to the point where I would be afraid to leave my computer. I didn't want to miss something, didn't want to miss a client call. And what's happening now with this economy being the way it is, there's so much pressure on generating revenue. So you sacrifice I sacrifice every ounce of anything because you have to have revenue. But what happens is now I'm not making any money because now I've just lost 2 days of productivity, which is devastating for me. When you're self-employed, and really it's almost 5 days, and I'll tell you how I realized it was almost 5 days, because my mother went to listen to the show yesterday, and she said, sweetheart, I'm listening to Friday's show, but it was Tuesday. So for me, it's almost like I've been out of the loop for 6 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and today is Wednesday. So it's almost, and true, you just put in the radio, but you gain 2 days of saving your life. You're absolutely right, but I didn't look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? I looked at it as, I can't take a break, I have to keep going, I can't take a break, I have to keep going, I can't take a break, I have to keep going. And then when you do crash, what if they admitted me? What if, because don't forget, he gave me a choice, and I was a little pissed off at that, because I said, you're the doctor, you're the one that went to school for this, and you're going to give me a choice and give me a decision if I want to start medication and go upstairs, because that's what he said. He said, well, we can start your medication and send you upstairs, which means I'm going up to a hospital room, or we can send you home and, you know, send you for outpatient treatment. And I was so angry, like I wanted somebody in my life to make a decision. I didn't want to have to be the one to make a decision. And I think that happens especially with entrepreneurs, where we have to make so many decisions about so many different things. I finally wanted to be at a place where I don't have to make a decision today, or about this major thing in my life, I don't want to make a decision. I'm starting to question my decision-making skills, so I don't want to make a decision. I said, you make the decision. He says, I'm not making a decision. So here I am in the this quarantine part of the emergency room, arguing with this doctor about making a decision about my treatment. And finally, I said, you know what? I want to stay. I don't want to go out into the world. I want to stay, and I just want to get some sleep. And you know what the funny thing was? All I really wanted to do was sleep. I slept the whole time I was there. I would zone in and out. I would wake periodically and hear people complaining, I've been in this emergency room. I want to get out. They had someone sitting next to me, so I guess I don't know if they were sitting next to my stretcher, because I told them I had so much valuable stuff in my bag and nobody wanted to take ownership of it, or if they thought I was going to do something. So, but to, in any event, I said to this young lady who had been watching me, I said, excuse me, how long have I been laying here? She said, oh, you've been here about 5 hours. Can you imagine 5 hours going by and you're on a stretcher in an emergency room and you don't even realize it? I didn't even realize. Five hours. Hour 1, hour 1.5, hour 2, hour 2.5, hour 3, hour 3.5, hour 4, hour 4.5, hour 5, hour 5.5. I mean, like, can you imagine? That's where I was. And then when they moved me to this other place where you couldn't get in and out, they had you in this room where they can look in, you know, like a glass room, like a psychiatric ward. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, and I hope I'm not being disrespectful to anybody in using that terminology. But when they wheeled me into this private room, I went right back to sleep. And the doctor said, you're exhausted. He said, Ms. Brown, you're just exhausted. And I didn't even realize it because we go and 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 go. And the first thing they asked me was, do you want to hurt yourself? And I'm like, no, I don't want to hurt myself now. But when I went, the reason I drove myself is because I find water very peaceful. And I just wanted to go to the river and just look at the water and look at the boats and look at New York City. But then for like a couple seconds, I was like, wow, maybe I'll go for a swim. Now, you all know it's freezing here in New York. And then I just thought to myself, Saida, this is not right. Like, you can't get in the water. And that's when I drove myself to the hospital. And Curvy Queen is saying my mind needed rest. And I think it's my mind needed rest more so me physically, because for all of you who have been looking, listening to this show, you know how heavy the topics have been. And that's why Friday's show was nothing about fun and music, because this, we were getting into some really heavy, in-depth, and insightful stuff with spirituality, with ghosts, with death, with transitions, with living life. And I guess it just took its toll on my mind, because don't forget, you guys tune in at 12 and then tune off at 1, or you may go to the chat room or something like that. But I prepare and prep for these shows days before and hours before I actually go on the air. Now, half the time when I'm on the show, we talk about anything. You know, I look in the chat room and you know, more often than not, I start with talking points for this show, and I never get to like half of them because I start talking about stuff in the chat room and we go off on tangents. But I can tell you, I actually prepare a production schedule for every single one of these shows, where I know what the opening is going to be, what commercials I'm going to run, what we're going to talk about. And so if we're talking about something like last Thursday's show, where we talked about I See Dead People, you know, and about spirits and them visiting us, I've already spent time reading my Bible, reading other books, and planning for it. So it's turned on in my mind long before we get to 12 o'clock. And then don't forget, even though I may not speak with you, an individual person, there's plenty of people that I talk to from 1 o'clock sometimes till 3 and 4 o'clock talking about what we talked about on the show. But at the end of the day, I still have to get my work done. So that now I find myself playing catch-up in the afternoon, and this stuff wears heavy on your mind. Some choose to carry the stress, and some just can't shake it. I think I'm one of those people that can't shake it because I've been given such a beautiful gift. I just have to learn how to work my gift and use my gift efficiently to help other people. But I can't help other people if I'm a mess. I see Curvy Queen, you put at University Hospital in Newark, there would not have been a choice. Well, I'm happy I didn't go to University Hospital because I signed some discharge paper and brought my tail home. But you know, there are people that I'm sure really would have considered hurting themselves more seriously than I could have ever thought, or would actually have acted upon it, which I did not. So I just realized I needed help, and, you know, I have to go back to the topic of the show about where I've been for 2 days, my mental health, and a serious look at the mental illness in entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, because I see, here's the thing too, and this is probably to my detriment. I am a researcher and I am a studier, and all of that stuff I intake. I've told my staff that I'm not really the best listener, which is why I have to be a very good note taker, because you can talk to me about something, and if I'm not writing it down, I'm probably not going to remember, and I'm probably not going to get it after we finish talking about it. So I take very, very good notes, but I'm very good visually. I'm a visual learner. So if I'm reading something or studying something over the internet, I can pick it up very, very quickly. But what happens is, because I learn best that way, I absorb it, and it goes right into my spirit, and I can't shake it. And I think Tiff's mother one time said on the show, I've got to learn to stop putting on the coat of other people's burdens. I'm almost positive she said that to me one day here on the show, because I own other people's problems. And, you know, I do it because I have a gift of sensitivity. I have a heightened sensitivity. I'm very intuitive. I'm learning that just doing this show. But with all of these gifts, you have to learn to manage it. And one thing I have learned is that, you know how we see crazy people on the street, and I'm saying crazy loosely, but like we might see homeless people on the street. In my studies these last couple of days, those are probably really, really, really smart people that could not accept their smartness. I hope my mother's not listening and hearing me say it that way. But those are probably really, really, really smart people and could not adapt, because this world is set up for average. And let me explain this. Let me explain what I'm trying to get out right now. When I was speaking with the doctor, he said, Ms. Brown, what seems to be the problem? That's the first thing he said when he sat me down Monday night. And I said, I just want to be normal. I want to think like a normal person. I want to act like a normal person. I don't want to have visions. I don't want to hear things. I just want to be normal. Okay, so now we had to establish the premise, what is normal? And so I said to him, for my entire life, everybody else goes left and I go right. And he said, okay, I need you to expound on that a little bit more. Let me give you a perfect example, even as far as this show. When I started this show, I said, well, I'll start a radio show. And there are tons and tons of people that host their own internet radio show. But I had no radio background, never knew anything about producing a show, clueless about it, and I started a daily radio show. That is very aggressive. I've had people now, I think today is our 100th show. I'm going to count my shows up, and I'll let you guys know tomorrow, original shows. But the point is this. I even said, you know, just even coming up, everybody's going left and I'm going right. Everybody's wearing blue and actually some of my friends have even nicknamed me up the purple duck, because you know how you ever heard that, you know, there's all the yellow ducks and then there's this one purple duck that just stands out, that just has to be different, that's chilling over in the corner with the shades on. I have a couple of friends that actually call me their little purple duck, because I always seem to march to my own beat. But if you've done that, you know, going through school, being teased, I was always teased as a kid, talking about you talk like a white girl. I mean, what kind of foolishness is this? That's absurd. But I learned to live with that. I actually learned to live with, okay, I talk like a white girl, whatever that means. You know, I guess I can properly conjugate my verbs. But, you know, and then you go through college, and then you go through, and then, you know, I get this really good job after job, and I keep quitting because I can't function in them, because I felt in my mind the policies and procedures that you guys have in place don't make sense. This world is really set up for us to not think. And anybody that is a thinker is always going to have a challenge functioning in this society, because the society is set up. Just think about how they train us academically. They train us academically to master a test. You're never taught in school anymore how to think. And you all know, true, you know, I've said this many times on the show, that I have always had problems with my children in school because I've trained my children to think. My younger son, Miles, was suspended 13 times in third grade. And it got to be a joke because they were just suspending him just out of spite, to spite me. Because it happened in October. We were living in Atlanta. We had just moved to Atlanta, and they were teaching about Christopher Columbus. We had just moved to Atlanta, like, in September. So they were teaching about Christopher Columbus, and my son raised his hand, and he was only 7 years old, but he's a year ahead in school, so he was in the third grade, but he was only seven. And he told them that my mommy said that Christopher Columbus didn't discover America because there were people already here. I have taught that to my children. Christopher, you can't discover something if someone else knew it was there before you. You can discover it for yourself, but I cannot accept the fact that Christopher Columbus discovered America because there were Indians here and people here. And I taught my children that Christopher Columbus did not discover America. He stumbled upon it, but there were already people here. Okay, fast forward. My son was suspended for being disorderly in the class because he was very insistent, even after the teacher told him, you have to sit down, that's not true. He was very insistent that the teacher was giving false information. So they suspended him for insubordination. I had to come pick him up. So just in things like that, I should have shut my son up and told him Christopher Columbus discovered America and let him go along with all of the misinformation they were teaching him. So just in my own thinking and the way that I've trained my children, I'm teaching them to think, as just as on this show, we think every single day. Maybe we think a little too much sometimes, which is why I got to have fun shows like the one I did last Friday. But Life Remixed is about rethinking everything we know to experience our best life. But just in thinking, this society, anybody who is a thinker in this society is going to have trouble adjusting. That is why there is no innovation coming out of Detroit with the automobile industry. That's why we're graduating from schools a bunch of workers. There's no innovation. There's no technology. There's nothing new coming out of this country because we have dumbed down our entire society with Paris Hilton, MTV, and mastering young people to take a test as opposed to really building and establishing critical thinking skills. True says, why do yourself a disservice by not teaching others to think? I don't know. I teach anybody around me to think. I want them to use their brain. I want them to True, you know this. We talk about this on the show all the time. The premise of Life Remixed Radio is for us to rethink everything we know to live our best life. I believe we have to rethink and question everything we've been taught, and, you know, especially about what we were taught about church, what we were taught about spirituality, what we were taught about our life. I mean, globalization, technology, the economy, those are the three biggest factors that's leaving America in the dust right now. And perhaps if you taught children 10 years ago how to think instead of dumbing them down with microwave food and FedEx and all this other crap, we would have some innovation. We don't even have any innovation in the pipeline right now. There's nothing coming up in our pipeline. What students are coming up right now that can really take on China and India? And I see that stuff in the chat room. True put, that's why India and China are coming up. Absolutely. You're hitting it right on the head. And so that's one of the things the psychiatrist told me on Monday night, that I'm a thinker. And the society in which we live is not conducive to thinkers. So what happens is, since this society is not conducive to people who think, I am always going to be made to feel out of place or out of the norm because nobody else is thinking. Now, of course, that's a very generic statement. Come on, I don't think that I'm the only person on the planet that thinks. But a show like this is when we bring together like-minded individuals. Me and High Road had an amazing conversation a week ago about how to build this whole media conglomerate. I'm like, oh, my God, that is amazing. That is working, and I'm building something like that for 09. I've shared with you all many of times how this show has grown by leaps and bounds, and revenue is coming in, and, you know, I'm speaking and I'm writing books. And I share with you, I mean, God, people that have listened to this show from the beginning probably know more about me than the pastor that I served under for 5 years, because I tell you all everything. I hope to use myself as an example. But I really like the fact that we all come together at 12 every day so we can think, almost like maybe, I guess, a secret society or something, because many of you that listen are entrepreneurs, and even though I have a staff, I'm a solopreneur because my staff is not even in the same office as me. Half the people you all know, and they come on the show, half the people that work for my company are in Atlanta. Two are in Atlanta. One's in North Carolina. One's in Connecticut. One is in Detroit. Yeah, that's everybody. That's like a full-time person with my company. Nobody's here in New York with me. I'm in New York by myself. So I sit in my office, do my work. You know, I'm shooting off emails, but for the most part, again, it's a self-imposed isolation. And I just told you, I just got a bigger TV in my home office, not like a flat screen or anything, but just a bigger one. You know, to follow the news, because I do a lot of political blogging. Actually, I'm proud to say I'm the first blog that I saw that broke the news about the governor of Illinois trying to sell Obama's Senate seat. I didn't start seeing it on blogs until 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I blogged about that yesterday morning. But that's what happens when you're tapped in. But I think it can be quite dangerous when you intake so much. Curvy Queen, I see you. Yeah, let's talk after the show. Because you said I need a job. Let's talk after the show. Just let me put my email and stuff in the chat room. My email is sb@cybrown.com, and my office number is 212-560-8980. So all my information has just been put in the chat room. Let me give you my website, too, www.cybrown.com. Does anybody have any questions about what we're talking about today? Has anybody else experienced any of the stuff that I've gone through? I'm just putting some stuff in the chat room, so in case people listening, they're not like, what was that dead space? Yeah, I'm just reading some stuff. Wow, I have such an active chat room. Oh, Curvy Queen said, what is normal? Well, you know what? I don't know what normal is. I'm not quite sure what normal is. And the book, let me tell you the book that he told me to read, my doctor. Well, he didn't say to read this specific book, but he said read anything by Albert Einstein about his life. So I went to the library yesterday as part of my own outpatient treatment or whatever. I picked up this book at the library called Einstein, His Life and Universe by Walter Isaacson. And this book is almost 700 pages. Oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm thinking. This book is actually, like, including the index and stuff, it's 675 pages long. But the actual content for the book without, like, the index and stuff like that, it is, and the sources, it's only 551 pages. So right after today's show, I am going to start this book on Einstein, and these, it's a 551-page book, and I'll read to you the very beginning of it, and this is why I think this is going to be an absolute treat for me to read, because I am taking a lunch break. It says, by the author of the acclaimed bestseller, Benjamin Franklin. This is his first full biography of Albert Einstein since all of his papers have become available. How did his mind work? What made him a genius? Isaacson's biography shows his scientific imagination sprang from the rebellious nature of his personality. Okay, did we not just talk about that? His fascinating story is a testament to the connection between creativity and freedom. Did we not just talk about that? Based on newly released personal letters of Einstein, this book explores how an imaginative, impertinent patent clerk, a struggling father in a difficult marriage who couldn't get a teaching job or a doctorate, became the mind reader of the creator of the cosmos, the locksmith of the mysteries of the atom and the universe. His success came from questioning conventional wisdom and marveling at mysteries that struck others as mundane. This led him to embrace a morality in politics based on respect for free minds, free spirits, and free individuals. These traits are just as vital for this new century of globalization in which our success will depend on our creativity, as they were for the beginning of the last century when Einstein helped usher in the modern age. If that does not describe me and what I talk about on this show every day, it freaked me out. I couldn't believe it because right now when he says his success came from questioning conventional wisdom and marveling at mysteries that struck others as mundane, that's what we talk about every day on the show. We question conventional wisdom, and we all collectively relish and embrace things that the rest of society would probably be like, ugh, you find interest in that. So I think this show, Life Remix, has more to it than just being just something fun to do today at 12 o'clock. I think all of us have extraordinary minds, and that's how we all found each other. I think all of us have so much we can offer to the universe and to the world, and based on what we go through and based on our experiences, we have so much to offer that other people can learn and grow from it. I see I have a lot of guests in the chat room today, or a lot of guests listening, and I thank you so much for joining us, because it's an absolute pleasure to see you all. But I think the more we look at mental illness, being an entrepreneur and a solopreneur, we have to really look at what gifts we have. And you know what's so funny? One of my friends who I shared, I mean, it's funny because I didn't share this with anybody, what I went through on Monday, but yet I'm sharing it with all of my listeners. they said, Saida, wouldn't you just feel better if you smoked some marijuana and took a nap? Well, I have to tell you, when I went to the hospital on Monday night, the first thing they did is a toxicology test. Like, they drew blood, and there was no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. It was all, you know, because I don't do drugs and I don't drink. I may have a glass of wine, but that's about it. But it's funny because my friend told me yesterday, Sai, maybe if you just smoked a little, you wouldn't feel so bad. I said, no, I don't think that's it. I've made it to this point without engaging in drugs or alcohol or extensive alcohol. So I think there's something else to this. But one thing I do have to say is I think even if we do engage in anything like that, I think once it's over, aren't our problems still there? Like, even if I do, I think my problems would still be there. And the funny thing is, it's not even really that problems exist. It's just my mind's inability to comprehend or wrap or embrace all of the gifts and the talents that I have. So, I mean, let's really look at it. Tiff says marijuana is not drugs. Well, I just don't do it. I mean, she says for the record, no, it's a plant. Just don't tell my teenagers that, because I've told them that it's drugs and that it's illegal. But I think that whole marijuana issue is definitely up for debate. I've just told my children that it's illegal and you shouldn't do it. But I've heard a lot of people have smoked for medicinal purposes, and it relaxes you. So, you know, I think you all know I don't judge anybody. Ever, ever, ever do I judge. I just know I can't do it because of my personality. I'm an extremist. I'm either all the way in or all the way out. And I probably would not be able to moderate any type of alcohol or drug abuse or drugs at all, because I would probably just take it to the extreme or take it to the head. But in any event, that's how that goes. But I see we're down to the last 5 minutes of the show, which is, wow, Tiff, hello, my darling. I've missed you so much. Hello, Curly, I see you. I see True, I see a couple of guests, I see D'Amica, I see Christian Wives Club, I see The High Road, I see Curvy Queen. There's just so many people in the chat room, and it's so funny because I told you at the top of the show, High Road was like, Sai, if I didn't hear you today, I was sending the cavalry after you. For those of you that are just joining me, I was in the hospital, but it was very briefly, and I think it was just for a mental overload. But I probably will talk about this again because I think it's so important. And I want to update everybody on my progress. I am not on any medication. They did not give me any prescriptions. What they really told me to do is get some sleep. That's really what the doctor told me. He said, you need some sleep. And I think that was proven when 5 hours passed by on a gurney right by the nurse's station, and I didn't even realize I had been in and out of sleep for 5 hours. So he told me to get some rest, told me to check out anything by Einstein, and I will be reading this book, so I'll let you know how this book goes. But I just think it's absolutely amazing how, and I never studied Einstein, but how this book is really going to touch on the traits that Einstein had and how it really helped him and how it built his legacy and how that impacts us who come together, you know, every day. Tiff, you said, "Hi, Road, where are you?" He was here, but he had to leave. You know, he told us that he had to break out, so he'll be back joining us tomorrow. I was on his show Sunday night. I had a great interview on his show. And to everybody, Tiffany Janae, you may see in the chat room, her show is The Hip Hop Entrepreneur. It airs Wednesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 8 p.m. on the West Coast where she is. And True has a radio show. It comes on Thursdays. I believe it's 5 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio. So let me just put a couple things in the chat room. Life Remix. .ning.com, which is our Life Remixed online community. So feel free to join that. Also, if you're not on Twitter, please go to Twitter, because what it allows you to do is stay connected to a lot of people with the click of one mouse. So I just put my Twitter address in the chat room, twitter.com/CyBrownMedia, and you'll get all tips and stuff that I'm talking about in the chat, you know, on the show. I'm sorry, I'm typing and writing at the same time. I accidentally just put the wrong address in the chat room. I put M-E-D-A-I instead of M-E-D-I-A. So sorry about that. Tomorrow on Life Remixed Radio, we are having our weekly life study, or for those of you that want to call it something different, our weekly Bible study. That is tomorrow at 12 noon, and we are joined tomorrow by DeWarren Colleone, who is in Atlanta. Again, another Life Remixed family member who is in Atlanta. That makes three. I forgot to add him in the earlier count. He will be joining us tomorrow at 12 noon to do our weekly life study. Study where we just kind of really look at it from a biblical perspective, because, you know, we look at things from a lot of different perspectives on this show, but we are looking at it tomorrow from a biblical perspective. And I thank you, everybody. I missed you all these last 2 days, but I wanted to let you know where I was. I was in the hospital. I am much better now, and I am not on any medication, no Xanax, no Lexapro, no Seroquel, no all of those other things that I found when I was Googling what I think I might have. I'm not on any medication, but I will be in a lot of prayer and a lot of study and having a lot of quiet time. Mm-hmm. Just remember, oh, True says we can postpone for a week. Yeah, I'm going to let him probably do the show because I can't do too much with my brain the way it is. I'm going to talk to DeWarren after today's show. I am a little tired, True. I need some rest. You know, we go and we go and we go and we go. I do need some rest. But worst case, always check my blog, and you'll be able to know what's going on. We are down to the last 1 minute of the show, and I can't leave out our closing prayer. The prayer of faith reads, God is my help in every need. God does my hunger ever feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of the day. I now am wise. I know I'm true, patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, I'm failing quick. God is my all, I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here. And True always says, love is love. And remember that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever I am, God is, and wherever you are, God is. I want to let everybody know that I am well. I'm just going to get some rest today. Breathing Life Show, thank you so much for joining us. But it's the end of the show, so join us tomorrow right here on LifeRemixedRadio.com. It's your girl, Cy Brown, and I'll see everybody tomorrow at 12. Peace.